Jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Welcome to this episode of the Hagman Report, folks. We're going to date this episode. This is Monday. It's Monday, right? The 21st day of March 2016. We are back from here, the Watchman Conference. Folks, if there was any episode that you want to listen to, it's this one. Trust me on that. Anyway, folks... We're back in our studios. We landed. In case you heard the Ross satellite feed, the conversation, we'll be explaining that a little bit. But yeah, it's. I mean, we've got enough to hide. Actually, we had Ross satellite feed knowingly go out. I just went ahead and remind Joe. I said, Joe, you know, he knew it, but so, yeah, I know. But anyway, folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report, where we're coming to you live right now. Right now from our studios, radio and television studios located here in Northwest Pennsylvania. We broadcast every weeknight. That's Monday through Friday from 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time on the Global Star Radio Network. We're also simulcast on BTR. You can watch us live and by archive on our YouTube channel.
And tonight, the YouTube feed, you will see a static image because we have not had the chance to hook back up the camera systems that we had taken with us. And basically, we had enough time for Eric the tech to set us up to reconnect. You know, the headsets, the mic, and that's about as far as that we got. And creating the episodes.
Crazy.
But we'll be back up live on video for you tomorrow and the rest of the week.
Yes, everything is going to be back to normal starting tomorrow.
Yeah, and you know, we haven't done a live show since Tuesday, and I know people have been wondering.
See. Absence does not make the heart grow fonder, right? Or it does. I don't know. Ask my dog. My dog was a little upset. She was upset with me. Lady, the studio dog, was upset. Now she's glad to be back in the studio. We brought her right back to the studio just so she could reacclimate herself to the studio. But nonetheless, you know, as I like to say, you know, well, before we get started, folks, don't forget we've got two separate websites, Hagman and Hagman.com, and also that's for the show information, live shows. So if you go there today, you can connect right now to HagmanHagman.com. And then HagmanReport.com. Rhonda does just a fabulous job, take care of some aggregating news and information on that. And my little corner is HomelandSecurityUS.com, Northeast Intelligence Network, formerly. But I'll be active. And also, folks, in case you haven't, this is one thing we'll talk about later, but... My new book, Stained by Blood, sold out in, an hour and 10 minutes at the conference, and the copies that I brought with me. So if you go to Amazon.com or go to stainedbyblood.com, and I think, click on the link and you can go to Amazon. Once the first printing is done, you'll have a little gem on your hands because there are a few minor little mistakes in there, okay? Because what I did was there were multiple proofs, you know. Oh, I don't know. Yeah, I took the wrong proof. I took the proof before the final proof and submitted it to have it printed. So the first printing will have a few minor mistakes, you know. But so it's going to be my wife jokes. She says, "When I kill you, now it'll be worth more."
I got to tell you this, you know, we brought I don't know how many books. It was not many, 100, 150, something like that. And you know, I just got to thank each and every one of the people out there who were at the conference. You know, the books went in the first half of the first day, which shocked me.
Yeah, actually, we did time at 90 minutes, and. Here's the thing about this, and Joe, if you don't mind, let me just, because I mean, Joe literally ran into the, you know, the old O.J. Simpson airport commercials. Okay, that was Joe coming into the studio, jumping over chairs and knocking over things. I mean, it was great.
One piece of pizza in my hand. Headphones.
I mean, we woke up in Dallas and we ended up here in Northwest Pennsylvania. I mean, it's just, we had a minor delay in Chicago.
Yeah, and the security, you know, they told us to be there 2 hours early due to the TSA lines, and we were very fortunate. We had a rental car.
Back.
They had to return the rental car, and I took a shuttle from the hotel, and we were the last ones off the shuttle. Probably got through security an hour before you guys did, because you had a few things to do that you didn't expect.
I got to tell you, folks,
in Dallas Airport, it's 30 square miles.
Yeah, can you believe that? 30? It's the fourth largest airport in the United States.
It's like a city. And we went to pick up Paul McGuire from the airport on Thursday. It took us over an hour. We were like chickens with our head cut off.
well, first of all, Paul forgot to tell us the flight number and gate. Apparently, that's pretty important information to have, what gate you're going to be at. I guess that's, you should probably have that, right?
We just had the airline.
Oh, man.
But
well,
it worked out.
Going, okay. I don't know whether you heard my broadcast going, okay. For some reason, I was losing my voice when we left, and it's so weird, okay. So, I had a little incident with TSA.
On the way. And my wife did also. And I'll tell this story first.
You go ahead and tell that story.
My wife needed her license renewed. Every 4 years, you have to get a
driver's
license. Yeah, driver's license. And we went to do that this last week, and you could only do it on certain days, but we got the renewal, and the system was down. We couldn't get her maiden name changed to Hagman. So, and we're coming up on our four-year anniversary in June.
Bear in mind. Now, hold on, Joe. Consider this little tidbit of information, okay, that you should know. Joe has relatives that work at the DMV.
I do.
At that very location.
And they couldn't help us when we went, at least with changing the last name. And we called before we left for out of town to ask the airport, you know, said, you know, we're in the situation, the ticket's under my wife's name, Laura Hagman, but her driver's license, we could not change the last name. Well, they said, just bring your marriage certificate. So erring on the side of caution, not only do we bring the marriage certificate, we brought our updated social security card with the right last name on it, and basically every, you know, old bills with her name on it. Well, it didn't matter. As soon as we got to Erie Airport, which is very low security, I think it's how airports should be. They have a couple TSA agents, they screen your bags, and they have the metal detector there.
Right.
Nothing really invasive. Well, they had to sit her down with explosive material swabs, took the whole carry-on apart. We ended up in like an hour at our airport, which our airport is like I said, very like how an airport should be. And we had to do the same song and dance on the way home, even with the marriage certificate, even with the social security card and her license, and calling ahead and asking about it. It was kind of rough.
It was amazing to watch.
And you had a small incident on the way out, too.
Yeah, and I should note, Eric the Tech is not with us tonight because the last time we saw him was in Dallas because Chance at the expo, what we did was we got some black powder from Chance. Of course, they live, you know, their offices are in Texas. And I just sprinkled some on his bag and then put some on his pants and his hands. And said, "Hey, I'll see when we get back." So I haven't seen him since Dallas.
He didn't fly.
Eric the Tech.
Oh, Eric.
Eric the Tech. Yeah. Folks, please don't send me emails because Eric the Tech is developing his own fan club, actually. And God bless Paul. Thank you so much for what you've done, and you know who I'm talking about. But
I see a comment in chat. Yes, we brought my wife's passport as well.
Oh yeah, and okay.
The
so
the only thing that wasn't in her my last name was the license.
Exactly. We've made a decision. Okay, we are not flying again because here's the deal. I want to bankrupt the airlines. I want to bankrupt the airlines. If the airlines allow the TSA to do what they're doing, then you know what? We should bankrupt the airlines. We should vote with our pocketbooks. We should protest with our pocketbooks. Now, I understand that
not
that
even
stuff
from
happens.
Security or aspect of it. The airlines. I mean, the last time we flew was when we went to Bozeman, Montana.
Yes.
For the conference there in 2014. Yes. And, you know, these airplanes are getting smaller and smaller.
They're Chevy Cavaliers with wings.
They are. I mean, we took two United Express flights, but, I mean, it was just like sitting in a jail cell would have been a relief.
I got to tell you something. The guy next to me, okay, on the airplane, I like etiquette, all right? I like etiquette. All right, so the guy next to me, now, you got to understand, he's across the aisle from me, but I can reach out and I could put my finger in his ear, okay? That's how close.
The aisles were so thin, you know, the carts that the ladies bring up and down when they bring you drink, a complimentary Coke or water or whatever on the plane, a little snack, they barely, I mean...
It's about 2 feet wide.
We had, it was kind of tight on the way back, coming back when we stopped over in Denver, and we had to catch it, you know, from Montana to Denver, Denver to Chicago, Chicago to Cleveland back here. But, this time it was just, they were so small. There was no fresh air in there. And, you know, you sit in the back by the bathrooms. It's just a bad situation.
Well, I saw the pilot. I thought the pilot got up and went to the bathroom.
I saw that too.
He's in there for like 15 minutes. I'm thinking, what's he doing? What the pilot's in there?
We're over a lake.
Is there something I don't know about? All right. Well, anyway, I got to tell you this, guys and ladies, because this is, and I told this story, but I don't think I told it really well. Okay. So leaving our airport from our city, And remind me about the guy across the aisle, because I got to finish that story. But leaving I was losing my voice for some reason when we were leaving here. I think, you know, God probably was protecting me. I really believe God said, you're going to have to shut up, man.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Okay.
His yells were whispers.
Okay. Well, yeah. So I get to the airport. Now, for some reason on my ticket, on my boarding pass, I was TSA pre-screened. Now, go figure, right? Go figure. All right. So they walked me around all the to-do stuff, but they said, you still got to go through the metal detector. I said, okay, I'm okay with that, the metal detector. And I didn't have any metal on me. I really didn't. I carry my badge and my badge case with me, all right? Now, folks, follow this because you're going to like this. There's a lesson here to be learned. I put my stuff in the bin, and I walk through the metal detector, and all of a sudden I hear this beep. Now they know I don't have any metal on me, and this effeminate Walmart TSA idiot looks at me and says, well, now you were randomly selected for a search. Okay now let me tell you something. Okay, when I heard that, I said, so I, you know, I went in there with a bad attitude. Then I see this, and I'm not making fun of his appearance or his mannerisms, but I really was, it was how he said it, and, you know, it was like, I got you. So he pulls me over to the secondary screening area, and he said, meanwhile, remember this, my wallet with my, I have a badge, okay, and because we're PIs, and it's in my wallet, along with my money, my credit cards, my license, and all this, you know, everything you can carry. And so it's in the bin. So it goes through X-ray. It goes through X-ray. At the same time, I'm standing on this stupid mat where, you know, they have these...
You remove your shoes and the footprints are there.
No, I have to remove my shoes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
The priest...
But he said, now put your feet in the designated areas. And okay, now I'm getting like really twisted at this point, okay, because he's just really starting to rile me up. And then all of a sudden, I see all the people scurrying around the X-ray machine where my badge is. I'm thinking, oh, okay, you know, they're wondering maybe who I work for. Well, folks, make sure you check your wallet, guys, yeah. guys, because yeah. I had forgotten about 10, I don't know, a long time ago.
We both got, I don't even
they're
know.
Carbon, they're carbonite knives.
They look
they're
like a credit card.
Credit card that fold up into knives, and they're made out of carbonite steel. Okay, so the x-ray machine shows the outline of a steel knife in my wallet. Okay. Now think about this now. And see, and
it's in a right. credit card format, right. so you don't.
I've long forgotten about this, and I am now standing on this rubber mat where, you know, you got shoe imprints in front of this TSA, whatever. All right. In my hometown now. All right. Now things go bad. Things are bad right now because now they think I'm trying to smuggle a knife onto the plane. Well, I didn't know what the fuss was. I forgot about the knife. So
and it gets funnier.
And see, and Joe and my wife and his wife. I mean, they already learned now. Even well, with the exception of Laura, who Joe's wife, who got like you know they were going through her hair,
bomb screening residue.
Oh yeah,
you know, it was residue.
Explosive. I mean, right.
Just because of the ridiculous. Last name on the license, but yeah, they get to the badge case, and not only do they get the knife out, they take the badge out. And those of you who know how badges are used, they have a pin in the back. And they take the badge out and they open the pin and they're looking at this pin like it's something they've never seen before poking.
Oh, they're actually trying to poke themselves with the with the end of the pin, okay? Now, again, folks, there is, we're not wasting time. There's an important lesson here. First of all, and I'm being very serious. There are guys I know, make sure before you leave home, you check your wallets because there's probably stuff in there like, you know, you forgot from, you know, high school. If you're still, it depends because I have the same wallet I had for, I don't buy new things. Okay. Anyway. So, all right. So the TSA, there's like three agents over there looking at this, my wallet. And then this effeminate guy is telling me to put my arms up. Well, I've got a bad shoulder and a bad back, and I said, you know, and he says, I've got to read these instructions to you, but you have to keep your arms out. And I said, I can't do that physically. I cannot physically keep my left arm out. And he kept talking over me. I said, would you shut up? I told him, I said, shut up and listen to me. I'm telling you, I can't hold my arms up.
Now, remember, his voice is very... His throat is basically, his voice is gone.
Okay, well, right, and praise God because now they found this knife, and now I'm arguing with this effeminate TSA guy, and now they're ripping through. They saw the X-ray on my knife, so finally they stop this effeminate guy, and say we need to talk to him right over here. So they drag me over to this by the X-ray machine, and they said you got a knife in here. I said, what are you talking about? I have a knife in there. I don't have a knife in there. He said, you got a knife in there. I said, well, give me my wallet. Okay. Oh, you know, and I said, okay. You know what I believe it is? I said, I think it could be like one of those credit card things. I said, it's been there forever. Take it out. We can't find it. I said, well, you x-rayed it. Well, we can't find it. So they take everything out of my wallet. I mean, they took my wallet apart. Then they ripped into my wallet itself.
Yeah.
Okay. I mean, they tore my wallet. Now I'm, excuse the expression, peeved, okay? And I said, if you hand me the wallet, I can find it without destroying my wallet. And they said, I can't let you do that, sir. I said, so what, are you going to rip my wallet right there? Okay, now I'm getting really angry. And my wife is like, shut up, be quiet, you know? And Joe is
kinda
like...
Kind of like I was in Montana.
Yeah, and Joe is saying, hey, calm down. So... Okay, now, finally, after they ripped the wallet apart, they find this credit card thing, and he hands it to me. Or he shows it to me. I shouldn't say hands it. He holds it up and says, see, this is a deadly weapon. You attempted to take on the airplane. I said, I didn't attempt to take anything on the airplane. I said, that's been in my wallet. You know, I said, you can keep it. In fact, let me tell you exactly where you can put it. Well, all right. That time, my wife says, okay, now you got to calm down and everything. Anyway, he says, well, you can put it back in your car. I said, then I got to come back through security again, right? I'm not going to do that. Anyway, I didn't drive. So you can put it and then kind of my voice kind of went out. So I got dragged back to the footy outlines, and the guy has to read, he has to reread these instructions. And I said at this point, you shut up, do what you got to do, do it now. I see you're a bunch of Nazi thugs. And then I started going off, and see, the louder I yelled, I was going like this. I'm yelling at the top of my voice. I'm saying, you Nazi jackpotted thugs.
That's like that, you know, when Coach
I couldn't
Dave,
talk.
Coach Dave, when he, you know, does a presentation, sometimes even on radio, but especially in person, he will lose his voice. And I've never heard your voice go that bad before. I mean, he really was. And Tuesday it was, you know, a little bit better. I mean, it was actually a lot better.
Yeah, it was. I don't know what, but so God had to come in and say, Doug, you cannot do this, man. You know, because, and I'm letting the expletives fly. Okay. And I'm sorry. I'm a Christian man. I did repent, and I will continue to repent for, but I'm calling this guy every name in the book. And then I drag this airport cop, because I know the airport cops.
They were nice.
Yeah, I know the airport cops. And he had a German Shepherd. Yep. And I said, come here a minute. Get over here.
They even helped explain to me. They were so nice in explaining to me, even on the way back, how to get around some of the stuff we went through going there with Laura. The cop did. He said, you know, just you take her carry-on. Just let her go through, you know, by herself with no luggage, no carry-on. And it'll go a lot quicker for you. And he was
right. Yeah. So, but the bottom line is, and because I asked, I knew the police chief at the airport, you know, and in fact, him and I were, I don't want to say friends, but we'd had some dealings together. And I said, is so-and-so here? Is he here? You know, and I'm like, you know, I said, well, do you work with these Nazi jackpoted thugs? Like, you want a bunch of, you know, and I'm just going off, but I can't talk. I mean, above a whisper. I'm yelling at a whisper, okay, and that's the only thing that saved me from jail. And you know what? God did that. I believe. I really did. I really believe that God said, you know, Doug, I'm going to rip your voice from the box right out of there. Anyway, and meanwhile, and I'm watching, and at the same time too, I can see the secondary where they're poor Joe's wife. I mean, my goodness, swabbing her for explosives. What is this? Really?
She was messing around with them too. She had a good attitude about it.
Meanwhile, there's this guy with a backpack with wires sticking out and a stick of dynamite and the road flare going on, you know, running around security. This Arab going around security.
That's not an exaggeration.
No, that is an exaggeration. But you know, look, you know, but here's what I'm, here's, no, this is what I believe. Here's the takeaway from this. If it's not us right now, then who is it going to be to bankrupt the airlines? Okay. You know, we need to do something right now.
On Sunday, there was a media panel that we had, and one of the, during the Q&A parts, the people would come up and stand in line and ask a question, and the panel was great. Josh Tolley was on fire on Sunday, and I don't know, folks, I don't know what we'll be able to put up on YouTube. We did some background interviews that we will...
Oh, we got so much to talk about. Folks, tonight, you better call your friends, your family, your neighbors, because we are going to give you some background information that you don't want to miss. And I guarantee you there are going to be a lot of people saying, oh, I wish you wouldn't have said that.
Yeah. Yeah. And there's a lot of stuff going on in the news that we're going to cover also. And I see our YouTube chatters are in there, and welcome you guys. I don't think the Blog Talk chat's open tonight, but yeah, they're continuing to pour in. I know people weren't expecting a live show tonight, but we got, you know,
Joe wasn't expecting a live show tonight.
Yeah,
and neither was Eric. And by the way,
on the plane, he's like, get to the studio. We're going to do a live show. And I said,
let's. Okay. We can do it. You know, I was looking at my watch. I'm thinking, okay, we can do this,
back
man.
In time, yeah.
We can do it.
And we needed to do it, you know. It's too long. Last Tuesday was our last live show. And, you know, as much as the traveling and, you know, we were, and God bless Rhonda and JD and his wife.
Oh,
and,
beautiful.
You know,
beautiful.
Everybody
beautiful.
Who was there, Eric and
Joe,
and
Joe Charles, the
yeah.
You know, the folks.
These guys worked their butts off. This was such a great event. And, you know, we were busy, you know, pretty much every day from morning till night. And, you know, these people worked really hard. And I hope everybody who is in the chat room, who was at the conference, you know, just share an email with Mike and Jeannie. Let them know how you enjoyed it.
They got a couple hundred emails already from people that awesome. Attended saying awesome. How great it was.
Because, you know, as we'll talk about later, with this other situation that was ongoing at the conference.
But you know what, Joe, wait.
Even Russ talked about in an email about how Lord really moved at this conference, how hundreds, you know, came to the Lord, got saved. Even me and my wife, you know, rededicated ourselves, got baptized. Pastor Langford was just fantastic. Him and his wife on Sunday morning. I mean, you talk about an actual church service that the churches need, a message to hear, you know, that he never lets down. And I just wish every church in America would play that message from Sunday he gave. Because it was on repentance.
Yes.
And it was very powerful. Yes. Every speaker there, you know, I, this one lady I met in the elevator, she said she had never listened to one of our shows, but she was going to start. And I asked her, you know, did you sit and watch all the speakers? And she said, yeah. I said, well, we just ruined it for you. You know, you can't, when you see these guys in our radio show, they do a tremendous job, but it's nothing like seeing
them
in
person. It's nothing like in person. And I had just a gorgeous, beautiful lady. She must have been, I don't know, maybe 80. She was in her 80s. She came up to me and she says, I have a bone to pick with you. And I said, okay, what's that? And she said, you know, you stutter, you talk, you know, and I mean, she went right through. And everything, you don't finish sentences. And God bless her. And she's exactly right. And I said, you know, you're right. You're exactly right. And she said at the end, but I still love you. So, you know,
look, there was so much love there. There was so much fellowship there. And, you know, I forget who made the comment. One of the speakers, he said, you know, there's no haughty people here. There's no people who think that they're better or think that it's not about the ideas, the doctrines, the ideology. Everybody was very humble. Everybody was so loving. I mean, it was just a great place to be. It was just fantastic. And so many young people there. I just got to say this. We met a great kid, Joseph, who's in college, who we talked to, who's been talking about, you know, trying to wake his peers and his family up, as well as a kid named Thomas who came all the way from Holland.
Holland. That's the
like
country.
26.
Not New York. That's the country. Holland.
The live stream was in being streamed in Kazakhstan and in other countries that, you know, are not around this nation. It was just so powerful, and I hope everybody got, you know, I hope their expectations were blown away by what they witnessed and what they were a part of.
You know, I have to say this, Joe really, really, really did a great job, Joe, my son, and I'm so proud of him, and especially for Sunday being baptized, him and his wife, and I was so proud of him. I couldn't be there.
And we got video of it. We'll be putting that up. At some point.
Yes,
well.
Yes. And folks, we're going to be putting some pictures up there that are going to just absolutely blow your mind, okay? I got to figure out how to do this, whether we're going to put it on. I think what we'll do is we'll put it on, probably put it on HagmanReport.com. There are some things that I do want to talk about, but not right this moment. Now we are going to get news, okay? But we have to dispense with the guy. We're decompressing. You got to understand. I mean, we just got off, like, you know, I'm still.
And we were sitting with our wives on the plane. We didn't really talk about, and you know, news was far and few between at the conference as we were paying attention to the speakers and our duties there, and trying to meet every single person. You know, it was interesting. I thought we met everybody during the 3 days we were there. We had two to three people at the airport in Dallas when we were leaving come up to us and say that they didn't meet us at the conference.
You know what? You didn't see this, but I had one person in Chicago.
Oh, wow.
One person in Chicago at our layover.
Yeah, it was just, I mean, it was fantastic. And, you know, send us your feedback if you would like, because I just, I don't know, it was such a moving and powerful experience, and I know that it brought hundreds of people together, even so much so that during Pastor Langford's sermon on Sunday morning, I heard more than a half dozen people just in earshot of me who were on the phone with their spouses, their grandparents, that were having them listen to Pastor Langford via their phone call. Which is something you just rarely see, you know. Russ on Friday night, he did just an awesome job. L.A. Marzulli, Pastor Billy Crone, even John Robertson, our Hollywood insider, he did a fantastic presentation.
You know,
Coach Dave,
I could not believe John's presentation. Okay. You know, I don't know why I couldn't believe it, but it was just, I mean, I was mesmerized by his presentation. It was nothing like I thought it was going to be. And he came out of there from start to finish, Joe. John knocked it right out of the park.
He put together a fabulous, did a lot of work on a PowerPoint presentation he used. As well as L.A. Marzulli got through 108 slides in 2 hours.
God bless that man, too. Yeah, a lot of things happened behind the scenes that L.A., we things didn't, the trains weren't running on time, folks, at certain event or at certain segments, and L.A. got kind of, you know, L.A., I love it, because what he does, he's got 108 slides, right? And he's got, 2 hours? So he has, I mean, right to the second.
You're talking about a minute of slide, basically.
Right, but I mean, he's got, like, right to the second planned out. I mean, he leaves nothing to chance. So if somebody says, okay, you've got 120 minutes, bang, okay? He's expecting 120 minutes. But when, you know, if he doesn't have 120 minutes, it really throws off his presentation. So I thought he was going to, you know, put me in a headlock behind the behind the screen there. But he was, no, I mean, seriously, he was such a, but you know what? He really, L.A. Marzulli really did a fantastic presentation there. But, I want to just acknowledge this. I just want to thank Rhonda so much, because I know that she just must have walked in the door. And none of us got much sleep. I think we probably each got maybe three hours of sleep a night. Those people who were
once
there.
Once the conference started, yeah.
Yeah.
Because we did some other things. You know, we went and shot some footage at Dealey Plaza.
We got to talk about Dealey Plaza.
Eric had the video camera, and I had the microphone, and I found something at Dealey Plaza that I did not know was there, which was an excerpt from a speech Kennedy was to give at Dallas that he never made it to. That kind of surprised
me. That's a trademark. And you know, I'm sure 90% of you folks know about that speech, but to be reminded of it again.
Yeah, and I was not familiar with it, but I don't know much about President Kennedy as far as I know. He was the first Catholic president, the youngest president, and
No, this is a trivia question, actually. Teddy Roosevelt was the youngest president.
Oh. Because CNN has been running a series, Road to the Election, and showing all these, the footage from all these previous elections and how, you know, there was, you know, the ins and outs from Watergate and Nixon versus Kennedy. And and I watched that one on CNN where Kennedy beat Nixon, and there was, you know, at the very end, they threw in allegations of voter fraud in Illinois and a few other states.
Oh, there was. There was tremendous voter fraud.
Yeah, I didn't know that stuff. But the words in Kennedy's speech talked, you know, there was key words in there, fulfilling our ancient vision of world peace, and goodwill towards men, which is a UN,
yes,
you know, one of the UN trademarks in their, basically their charter or commandments, whatever you'd like to call them. And, you know, we talk about presidents and their role and how speeches are written for them, and they are part of an agenda. You know, they're more like news heads than anything else. They read what's on the screen for them. But it was surprising to see that in Dallas that what that was there. And I took and did about a 15-minute video clip from there. So we'll put that stuff together and we'll get it up on YouTube as soon as possible. And but yeah, Dealey Plaza, we also are going to be having on a guest. And I'll let my dad explain more about this later. But there's a guy there who basically sits there each and every day. And we didn't have a lot of time to talk to him. I think his name is Michael Oakes. If I remember correctly. But it is, I mean, when you see it, when I was at Dealey Plaza standing there at first and walking around before we shot the footage, you know, you're standing there and it's like you can watch, it's like I saw the Zapruder film in my mind as I'm standing there and watching it in real life in a way. And they have X's where they have three X's. One they say where Oswald missed, and then they showed the other two places where the governor and president.
Well, you know what, Joe? I didn't mean to. Sorry for interrupting. They actually took those X's out for the 50th anniversary, if you can believe that. There's a lot that we learned. As a matter of fact, and I did not tell you this, I didn't have a chance because I didn't barely saw you. We do have a pack. Somebody gave us a package of information. We were supposed to meet somebody in Dallas. Actually, a man by the name of James Tague, T-A-G-U-E, wrote a book. He was injured by a piece of concrete from the first shot.
From the ricochet, yeah.
Okay. And I can say this now because I have safely in my hot little hands, well, not really, but in the vault here at the studio, the package from, it was delivered to our hotel, from a relative of his, I cannot be specific, that has documents in it that have never been made public about the assassination. All right. And about the Warren Commission and about the assassination. It's pretty voluminous. I looked through it. And you might say, well, so what? That was, what, 50-some years ago? No, it has a lot to do with what's going on today. Even in this election, okay? That's how important this is. That we're going to be talking about that this week.
And tonight, also, I want to hit this. You know, there's a few Trump events. There was some stuff that was going on. You had a rally or a speech he was giving in Arizona where protesters blocked off traffic. And they chained themselves to their car. At the same time, there were protests in New York City. Hundreds, if not thousands, gathered outside of Trump Towers, blocking the entrances. The anti-Trump rallies are heating up. Now we know that MoveOn.org. We know that Bill Ayers is behind it, like he is so many of these things. George Soros funding it. And now, you know, they are using Nazi symbolism to go against Jewish people. This from the Gateway Pundit. Hundreds of anti-Trump supporters taunt Jews at AIP or AIPAC with Nazi imagery. Up to 1,000 anti-Trump protesters gathered outside of Washington, D.C. Convention Center for Donald Trump's speech at the AIPAC policy conference. And what they did was just disgusting. They were taunting Jewish people and targeting Jewish people. The AIPAC policy conference is the pro-Israeli community's preeminent annual gathering. The event attracts, and I'm sorry, here the ads are popping up, 16,000 community activists and students from all 50 states. Donald Trump is speaking at the conference tonight. Already hundreds of anti-Trump protesters have gathered outside the convention center, and the symbolism they're using is Hitler imagery at this Jewish conference, Nazi signs.
And people ask, people have asked us, well, why so much into the Nazi stuff of late? Well, this is why.
Yeah.
This is why. Go ahead.
We got even more information on that. And they say here in the Gateway Pundit, the protesters are not shy about taunting the pro-Israeli attendees with Nazi imagery and how it's just purely disgusting. But the news CNN had a segment where they interviewed, I think it was two brothers who were shooting a documentary infiltrating the protesters and showcasing how the hypocrisy there is, how Trump is basically Hitler, how he's a Nazi, how, you know, he is just a hate. And what they're doing is not a protest. This is taking away his ability to speak freely. You know, he's not out there, and, you know, you can think what you will about Trump, but he is not out there, you know, making, and he's being blamed for these protests and what's happening
deliberate.
At these the disruptions, this protest. And I don't even want to call them protests because there's so much more than that. But the news media, and there's other articles that talk about how the $52 million in negative ads against Trump and he gained supporters, you know, in the process, and the donors are starting to get angry. You have actual articles from GOP insiders saying how, you know, laying out the different strategies of how they're going to take the convention, turn it into a contested convention in order to make sure he does not get the nomination. And on the other side, you have Hillary Clinton being investigated by the FBI, should be indicted, should be facing criminal felony charges.
She won't.
No. And this is the Democratic frontrunner who will get the nomination, who will be running for president. And you're hearing now about Romney third-party runs, Cruz third-party runs. And you remember how they signed that pact and they were so adamant that Trump hold to the, you know,
yep.
You play by our rules. Well, and they're doing everything, you know, that they said. They're breaking their word with what they agreed to with Trump. And say, like I said, say what you will about Trump.
You know what?
He is beating in them at their own game. Whether you like what he says or you like his ideas or not, that's not the issue here. The issue is that the GOP made him sign a piece of paper saying he would not run for a third party. He obviously is.
There's the pledge. If he, contingent upon them treating him properly,
right.
Well,
and now
Ted Brewer talked, and he brought this out, and everyone, Joe, the others brought this out as well. Being treated properly means that they are not going to do what they're doing right now. So they're forcing him to go to a third party.
The second GOP delegate says primary votes don't matter. We make the decision.
Exactly, exactly. And by the way, I just want to make this announcement really quick. Folks, we will upload this segment to Blog Talk Radio. We usually simulcast. Unfortunately, I must not have hit the right buttons because we were lacking Eric the Tech.
So we're basically
on Globalstar, which is our flagship.
And YouTube.
My goodness, I missed them. Go ahead, sir.
Hopefully, by midnight, I'll have that up on Blog Talk.
Sure.
As we try to put the Globalstar feed in the Blog Talk archive to give the best quality of sound that Globalstar provides to the archive listeners from Blog Talk who download via iTunes and others.
And I do want to mention this. I should have done this at the beginning, folks. Portions of tonight's broadcast brought to you by nuts.com. I missed saying that. I didn't miss eating them.
We didn't bring them unless you were hiding them.
I actually had my wife, and I didn't know this. My wife and daughter brought the pistachios and some dried fruit. My daughter ate the entire thing of dried fruit, and my wife the pistachios. But folks, nuts.com, that's nuts.com with the microphone code HH. More on that later. Also, wholetoneslive.com. And it was funny because at the conference, Greg Jackson came up to me and said, "Here, listen to this." And he had this, iPhones. I am so behind in technology. And on his iPhone, it was playing whole tones. I said, "How'd you do that?" "Oh, I downloaded the music." I said, "Well, on the what?" He said, "On my iPhone." I guess you can do that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Anyway, so wholetoneslive.com. And he was just telling me how his dog Gunner, lay down, one of the 400 and some megahertz. Anyway, we'll just be so docile and so, there's no separation anxiety like when he went to the conference and such. But wholetoneslive.com, nuts.com, but, wholetoneslive.com. So, okay, go ahead, continue, sir.
Now that I
knocked you right off the
but thing. The Trump, I mean, the, just keep your, I mean, they're going to, and Alex Jones has been reporting on this, on the GOP insiders and the different strategies they're trying to use to take the nomination away from Trump at the convention. They want chaos. They're talking at, they lost their base. This is from Fox News. I heard a few segments about how they say they lost their party. They lost the party's base. The Trump voters are leaning more right. And every time that they go after him with attack ads, $520 million of ads directly trying to bring down Donald Trump have failed. Republican donors tired after giving $520 million to failed candidates.
Here's my prediction, Joe and folks. I don't believe after this election there will be a Republican Party already there's not a Republican Party as you once knew it, but I truly believe that after this election, the Republican Party will be dead.
And there was a show we did with Nathan Leal a year ago maybe, and he talked about a vision he had about the Republican Party. It was elephants with red, what do you call those things that are on the backs? I'd say red blankets. They were covering their backs, and how they were on a highway, and they all got off the exit. This was before we knew Trump was running. This was before. And that was right on the money is what we see today. And that was just very interesting to, think about that the other day. It just popped in my mind and to see the fragmentation of this. You know, you have the Karl Rove type Republican insiders, and you have the base. They're alienating their voters of the party.
Yes.
They're alienating the supporters, the donors, for the most part. And they are openly strategizing how to illegally steal the election or nomination from the front runner, Donald Trump. And they're not hiding it.
No, they're not.
And that's scary to me. When they can get away with that, and the party voters, the party donors are not holding their feet to the fire. And as I said earlier, they signed a contract with Donald Trump. He's not allowed to run for a third party. He gave his word that he wouldn't. They gave their word they would back him as a candidate if he did get the nomination. But, you know, obviously they're going back on their word. They never thought he would get the nomination. So now they are openly moving against him in every way, to the point of saying they even endorse Hillary Clinton in order to stop him. Or even put a third-party candidate in, like Romney or Cruz, as a third-party candidate in order to take the votes away from Trump. I mean, it's mind-boggling. And that's
are we getting the feeling, Joe, let me ask you this. Are you getting the feeling that the establishment Republicans want Hillary Clinton to be elected? How's that
basically
for a question?
Yeah. I mean, they're taking away the strongest Republican candidate who has the most support, and they lie and they say that, you know, he polls worse against Clinton in an election, but you know, they have said that he is not going to win Florida. He's not. Ohio was, I think, the only surprise there, but Kasich, basically, it was neck and neck. You know, such a close margin of votes, and Kasich's been a 80% approval rating in Ohio for more than 30 years in the politics that he's been there. He just got reelected 2 years ago, and he couldn't win
his own state, right?
He did, I think, win Ohio by a very, very slim margin.
Okay.
And, you know, we have another candidate, Marco Rubio, sitting U.S. Senator, could not even win in his own state against Trump. Or, I'm sorry, Marco Rubio's in the House. Where's he in the Senate? He's in the House. Marco Rubio's in the House. But anyway, I mean,
we're in the House. Doug and Joe are in the House.
The writing is on the wall. And folks, you are hearing us live on this Monday, March 21st, 2016. We are coming to you live from our studios in Northwest Pennsylvania.
Yes, we are.
We are without Eric Tech.
Firma.
That's why the static image is up on YouTube, and if you're on there, it says live show tonight, audio only.
With what we've got to say, this might go down as one of our more listened to broadcasts, given some things that we're gonna.
Yeah, in the second hour, tonight. we're gonna. I'm gonna turn it over to you in the second hour and let you explain.
And anyone who, if you went to the conference, then you need to listen. And if you didn't go to the conference, well, you need to listen too, because
I mean,
this is what's coming. What I will reveal, and look, I'm not going to give. I'm just going to say a few things. I'm not going to get into the entire story, but this is what's coming. What we saw, it's coming, and we've got the pictures, and I'm going to post the pictures.
Absolutely. Right? I mean, I was just. I got the full story today when we were talking in the airport, and it saddened me deeply, because this is not how a Christian community needs to act, whether you're in agreement with one person or personality or another or not in agreement. We're supposed to be brothers and sisters in Christ first and foremost.
And you know, while we're on the subject of the conference, because we only have a few minutes off the top of the hour, I just want to everyone listening to this either live or listening to this eventually via archive who were at the conference, you know, one thing that struck me, I looked in your eyes, that the people, and we tried to meet everybody there in person, shake their hand and give them a hug, and people know I'm not really a hugger, okay? But I'll tell you something. I mean, I went back at one time. I didn't get back to the room until it was after 1:30 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and I woke my wife up. And you know, I mean, I got to tell you, I'm not one to get emotional. But man, I was in tears. Just
yeah.
You know,
I mean, how could you not be?
I mean,
people were so great. I mean, when people come up to you and they have tears in their eyes and saying, you know, thank you so much for what you do. And folks, you have to understand, and I said this many times at the conference, both behind the scenes and in front of everybody, that we basically just show up
and try to stay out of the way.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one thing I think,
and as much
everyone's
let the Lord,
that.
You know, work through us and bring the message he wants. But, you know, it's very humbling when people, come up to you, want to shake your hand, want to take pictures with you, with tears in their eyes, especially talking about how much, you know, I couldn't tell you how many times I heard, people there saying that, you know, their families have been saved or came back to, their walk and personal relationship with the Lord because of our show, because of the guests that have been on our show. And as we say, you know, that is the Lord working through us, because we're a couple of mumbling idiots half the time.
Absolutely.
And, you know, we had no business being on the radio, no experience to do this, but, you know, and that's just, that alone shows you how much the Lord is looking. And Pastor Langford hit on this Sunday. He's looking for those who will, that the Lord can use for his purposes.
You know, Joe, I've never been so convinced. And folks, you might think that, I mean, you might listen to this and say, man, that's kind of like not like Doug. Number one, I've never been more convinced in my entire life that we are actually in the end times. I believe that. I believe we're in the end times. And I believe that God is calling the remnant. He's creating the remnant, or he's, to those who are answering the call and just showing up, he is gathering the remnant. I don't know what that means or where we're going to end up. You could be impaired, infirmed, old, young. It doesn't matter. God is picking his team.
Yeah, he is.
You know?
And all we have to do is, you know, be there and tell the Lord that, you know, just like, oh my goodness, I'm drawing a blank. In Isaiah or Ezekiel, no, either Isaiah or Ezekiel, where, you know, who will go, who will, you know, be the one to carry out my message, you know, and I will, Lord, is what the paraphrase is here. And I have my Bible here, I'm looking for it. But, you know, who is willing? And that it's that first step, you know, you make sure that you put, and I'm talking from Pastor Langford's sermon and the message he gave. If we put Jesus first and foremost in our life, and, you know, dedicate ourselves to him and tell him we are willing to be obedient, willing to listen to him, and just to be used in any which way, he will use us.
Yes.
He will.
Yes.
Use you.
Yes.
And it might be anything from, you know, having a platform like this to reaching out and being able to help your family, your neighbors, the people that are just in arms and ears reach from you, planting the seeds that, as Coach Dave said, people and the Lord will water through people and through their voices and through the dedication to putting the Lord first. And one of the things from the conference here, as we're coming to a close of the first hour, there was a 14-year-old boy there. And he came up to me on Sunday morning. He said, Joe, how do I not backslide?
You're the right person to ask, though. No.
Well, I mean, yes and no, because I've done my fair share and do my fair share of backsliding all the time.
We all do.
But I tried to give him advice, and JD first came to mind, because he does five Proverbs and a Psalm, or five Psalms and a Proverb in the morning. And I told him, I said, you know, you just, as long as you take the first, each and every morning, you either say a prayer or read a Bible verse, you put him first in your day, that will, and like Alcoholics Anonymous, they tell you, you know, you wake up and, you know, say the Serenity Prayer, go to a meeting, and then the rest of your day, you know, you're so much less likely to fall back into that trap. Well, it's the same thing with the Lord. You put him first in your day, and then that will be at the forefront of your mind throughout the rest of the day, because he will remind you in subtle ways. And as long as your mind is open to the Holy Spirit and his teachings and correction, he will bless you more so than anything. And the spiritual blessings I'm talking about, and in other ways, in any way that he needs you to be blessed in order for you to continue touching others as being the example, not just talking as the example. Folks, we're up against our first top of the hour break. Stay with us on this Monday, March 21st edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report, coming to you live, fresh back from the Hear the Watchman conference in Dallas. We'll be right back with two more hours. Doug and Joe, stay with us.
This is the Global Star Radio Network.